Welcome back to another glass of Charlie Fay, and to kick off this spooky season, we are having a listener stories episode today, and it's all about motherfucking ghosts. If you don't believe in ghosts, you got something coming for you if you listen to this episode. So grab whatever you're drinking today. I just happen to be drinking a pumpkin spice latte because y'all already know that I'm a basic ass bitch. And let's get started. I personally have always believed in ghosts. I've always been very fascinated by the paranormal. And ever since I can remember, I've had experiences with the paranormal. So even like as early as like 8 or 9 years old. And my childhood home was not haunted, but I could walk into any home and tell you if there was a presence there. And I don't know if maybe my like aura or like spirit or whatever it is was just more open to that kind of stuff. But my mom has always had experiences. My grandma has always had experiences. So I feel like we've all just been more open to that kind of stuff. So when I have to have been like 50, I think it was 15. And I was with a boyfriend at the time. And I still to this day believe that he had something that was attached to him. And he told me when he was a little kid that he'd be playing in his bedroom and there was an old lady that was playing in his bedroom with him. And he didn't know who this old lady was. So I feel like it was probably her. And when we were dating, he was living in that house alone and it was his childhood home. So anytime that I would ever sleep over or just stay at his house, I was always so creeped out because I felt like anytime that there would be a loud noise or something was like out of the ordinary, I had to like look around. I just felt like there was always someone watching me. So I can remember countless times sitting on the toilet, and I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there's like sometimes in homes that's heated with wood, like a wood stove downstairs, there's like these like air vents that you can kind of see in the basement. So there was one in the bathroom and it was right in front of the toilet. And I remember any time that I would sit on the toilet, I had to cover the vent with a carpet or like one of the rugs that was like just right by the bathtub, because I would always see black figures, like just black shadows going up and down from the vent. And it was always so scary because I knew that there was something down there and I never wanted to go down there. I actually never wanted to be in the house as a whole because I hated it. And I remember being in the bedroom at night while he was sleeping. Like, he lived in a very rural area and there wasn't really much around. It wasn't a busy road or anything like that. And I remember laying in bed and I couldn't sleep. And I could see like just little auras of light just passing by in the bedroom. It looked like a shooting star almost. And it was so weird to me. And I knew that there was something there and that's why I couldn't sleep. I've never felt so uneasy in a house than I did when I was staying there. So there was one night in particular that we were kind of just like, I think he was like tickling me or something on the couch, and we both fell off the couch and the couch fell down with us. And as the couch fell down with us, it flopped back over and it made a really loud noise. And I remember feeling very uneasy when that noise happened. And when we were just both like sitting on the floor, I looked over into the hallway. And as I looked into the hallway, there was an old lady that walked into his childhood bedroom. And I remember staring at it and I remember my blood turning cold. Like I was just struck in fear because everything that I had been afraid of all of these months that we were dating, I finally saw with my own eyes. And I looked at him and I was like, I need to go home. You need to take me home. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I need to go home. I can't stay here any longer. I'm freaked the fuck out. Please just take me home. And he was like, you're crazy. Like, I can't believe you'd want me to take you home for this. Like, you're just being, you know, ridiculous. And I was like, no, you need to take me the fuck home right now. Like, I'm not staying here tonight. So I was like, if you don't take me home, I'm just going to call my dad and he's going to come get me. And he was like, okay, like whatever. So I called my dad and he came to get me. So he drove, I think it was like a 45-minute drive to come get me, and brought me back home. And I obviously went back to the house afterwards because we didn't break up at that point, but I was always terrified and I hated staying at the house alone. And it was just not a good time altogether. I hated it so much. But a few months later, he moved out of that house and I was super happy that he did. And he moved into an apartment building like closer to downtown. And as soon as he got the apartment, he obviously invited me over and I walked in. And the first thing I said to him was, "There's a little girl here." And he was like, "Oh, Shirley, you're being fucking crazy. I can't believe you'd say that, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm so happy with this place. Like, you're bringing all this negativity." And I was like, "No, it's not negative. Like, I'm just saying she's not scary. There's nothing, like, I can't feel any negative coming from this, whatever entity it was." I was like, "There's just a little girl here and that's it." And he was like, "Oh, whatever." So he just kind of brushed it off. And a couple nights into him staying at the apartment, I'd stayed with him for a few nights as well. We were both laying in bed and we were sleeping and I woke up. It must've been like probably like 2 or 3 in the morning. And I woke up and I sat in bed. And I don't know if you guys can like visualize this, but when you're having a barbecue and like how the heat will make everything look deformed and like disproportionate and like kind of like fogged up almost, I remember sitting up in the bed and looking to his wardrobe, and there was a figure of a little girl dancing in front of his wardrobe. And I was not scared. I was not afraid. I just kind of sat there and looked and acknowledged her presence and went back to sleep. And I told him about it the next morning, and he told me I was crazy, obviously. But that was the two experiences that I had with him. And one of them was obviously like the old lady. I don't think she wanted me there. And that's why she made her presence known so many times. And then with the little girl, I think she was just there and she just wanted to let us know that she was there, but she was not mad that we were there. And she just wanted us to acknowledge her presence. And that was it. I'm going to keep all of the listener story submissions anonymous just because it's a lot easier. So we're going to start with this one. It says, "So my family and I moved into my grandparents' house when I was like 4. My grandmother had just passed away in the stairs of the house after having a stroke. For the longest time, I was seeing this white shadow wearing a nightgown, slippers, and hair rollers, my grandmother in a nutshell. I was seeing that white shadow in the mirror of my bedroom while getting ready for school. The shadow was headed to my brother's room, which is the room right beside mine. One day, I decided to tell my mom, and she told me that my brother had told her he was seeing a white shadow that was walking into my room. We were never really scared because we felt like she was just checking in on us to make sure we were okay. There was other incidents in that house, but it always felt like it was just my grandparents watching over us." That's actually really sweet, and I have a story that's pretty similar to that. So back when I was like a teenager, I had dated a guy for a few years, and while I was dating this guy, my grandfather passed away my senior year of school. And when he passed away, I always felt like he was with me for like a good year after he passed. I honest to God think that his soul stayed with me for a good year because he knew that I was not in a good place and he knew that I wasn't happy. And I think that's why he stayed with me. So I used to have dreams of him all the time. I used to see him when I was like doing groceries, when I was out in public. And it was one of those things where I would see him and then I would take a second look and he'd be gone. But I knew that it was him. So, and I had this like memory in my head of what he looked like. And so every time, like, this was back when he was like very healthy, very fit, and he used to always wear these like golfer hats. And so every time I saw him, he was always wearing this golfer hat that I would remember him in. So I think this was like probably like 8 months after he passed away. I remember having a dream that he was in the hospital and me and my family were going to see him in the hospital. And when we got to the hospital, my grandmother came out and she was yelling and she was like, "He's gone, he's gone." And I was like, okay. So we all went upstairs and went into his bedroom. And I was the only one that sat on his bed while his body was still laying there. And this is all in the dream, keep in mind. So we were all just talking about his life and celebrating his life and grieving together. And finally, when I was about to stand up, he jolted up in bed and grabbed me by my shirt. And he looked like he was about to yell something at me. And I got really scared and I woke up because it scared me in the dream. And when I woke up, I felt like he was trying to warn me of something. It was just very weird the way that it happened. And I was so uneasy. Like, it just gave me such an uneasy feeling for so long after that. I didn't understand what he was trying to warn me about. So what I was saying before, I was in a pretty bad relationship at the time. It was not a healthy relationship. And I think he knew that. And I think that looking back at it now, that's probably what he was warning me about. But fast forward to a few months later, I had ended up leaving. I got into, you know, like a really bad fight with the guy that I was with. And I ended up telling him to leave and that I was leaving him that night. And I remember being outside. This was like a couple hours after I told him that I was leaving. I remember being outside and I looked over at my porch and he was sitting on my porch and he just lifted up his head and he looked at me and he smiled. And this was like a good like 5 seconds. This wasn't my usual sightings where I would see him for a blink of a second and then I wouldn't see him again after I turned my head. This was like a good 5 seconds where he lifted up his head, he looked at me and he smiled. And I knew that in that moment that I'd made the right decision. And that's what he'd been warning me about. There was going to be a big change that was going to be happening in my life very soon. That's what I believe anyway. So yeah. I definitely think that your grandparents are watching over you and when they do pass. And I thought that it was a very reassuring moment when I realized that he'd been watching over me for so long and that he'd stayed with me after he passed away. All right, another anonymous send-in. This one says, "Hey, this wasn't me experiencing it, but my mother always brings it up every now and then. So mom had to run to town to grab groceries, and she brought my younger sister along with her. After going through the store and getting everything they needed and got back into the car, mom started to load everything in. Meanwhile, my sister just stood there waiting for the car to be unlocked to get some help in. When almost done, my sister told my mother that she saw two boys playing over a few feet while their mother put the groceries away. However, one boy just took off running while the other remained by his mother's side. Mom finished loading up groceries and looked over to where the lady and the boy were. She noticed him and her starting to get in the car. Seeing that there was only one boy, yet my sister clearly said that she saw two boys playing together, went over to make sure the other boy came back and wasn't going unseen. Upon talking to the lady, she looked shocked when my mother mentioned my sister seeing her son playing with another boy. The lady had begun to explain that it's only been her and her son. It was then that it must have clicked and she smiled and she explained to my mom that her son that was in the car had been a twin, but the other one didn't make it." Whew, this is a tearjerker. "Turns out my sister was seeing the ghost of the deceased twin as he played with his brother. Sometimes what little kids can see terrifies me, but amazes me at the same time." That's amazing. That's a really cool story. And same thing, like I was saying a while ago, I've been seeing things since I was a kid. And I've heard countless stories of friends' kids seeing things as well. And it's just crazy what kids can see that we can't see. And it must be because their auras, their souls are just more open to that kind of stuff. They haven't been conditioned the way that we have with paranormal stuff and that kind of stuff. So I think it's really cool that they can communicate and they can see those kinds of things. This one has a title and it's called The Teenage Ghost. "When my brother and I were teenagers, we grew up in an old farmhouse. The house had an extension built on, but our bedrooms were in the original part of the home, right at the top of the stairs. There were many different scenarios that occurred during our time living there. Although we never felt unsafe, there were a few times when things would happen that we could never explain. One early morning around 3 a.m., my brother came across the hall into my bedroom. He had told me he had woken up to the sound of someone tapping away on the keyboard of our computer. The computer was located just between our two bedrooms at the top of the stairs on the landing. He at first assumed it was our mother, but once realizing what time it was, he got a feeling it wasn't. He said he continued to listen for about an hour when he finally got up the courage to open his bedroom door and flick on the hall light. In doing so, he claims the keyboard drawer had been opened and instantly slammed shut. Of course, me not hearing it and having just woken up, was not scared, so I proceeded to walk across the hall with him and sleep with him for the remainder of the night. Yes, I slept with my teenage brother. I truly was always the brave one out of the two of us. The following morning, having told my mom this, she ran upstairs to look at the desk area. The drawer had been slammed so hard it was now jammed, and the keyboard was left hanging on the back by its cord. Clearly, someone slammed it closed with enough force to do this. So creepy. On top of this, I had a CD player in my room and it would randomly turn on and off. The volume would go up to full blast or down all the way. This would happen in the middle of the night, while I was listening to it, during the day, etc. My dad, being the realist that he is, always tried to explain it, but never really could. The CD player came with me when I moved to university and into a few different apartments, and it never once turned on or off. The volume never went up or down when I had moved. But one year, when I had to move back home for a while and the CD player came back into this house to the top of the stairs, it again started to turn on and off and have the volume changed. I got so used to it. I used to greet the ghost with a kind hello and began wondering if it was a teenager, since it seemed to like technology so much. It loved music and computers just like us as teens. Honestly, it probably was a teenage ghost, and he probably liked your CD player because he just wanted to listen to some Britney Spears, which I'm sure we all do. This one's called The Mysterious Perfume. So to preface, I never really believed, like really believed in the paranormal. I kind of did as a kid because everyone else did, but then I got to high school and was convinced that there was nothing after death and that it was just lights out, that's it. In my third year of high school, my nanny passed away, and I was very distraught about it, particularly the last night of her wake. And I was walking outside to be alone to calm down. I smelt her perfume. This happened again when we buried her. And this still happens to me anyway. It seems to be when I am really stressed or upset. Sometimes it's very random, but I will be completely alone and be overwhelmed by the scent of her perfume, and it will only last for a few seconds and then it's gone. That actually happened to me a few times with my grandfather as well. So honestly, it probably was your nanny. All right, so I have a couple abandoned house stories, because if you guys have been following me since probably like 2016, I would say, me and Molly, my best friend Molly, you probably heard her on the podcast if you've listened to other episodes, we used to be obsessed with abandoned house hunting. We still are now, but we like to be obsessed from afar, and it's because of these particular instances from exploring these abandoned houses. Like, when I say obsessed, I mean we would take full days and travel around New Brunswick to find all of the abandoned houses, as many as we possibly could. So this one day we were driving, I think it was like close to Murray Corner, I believe. And we found this little tiny house on the water, and it was like a two-story house, but it was one of those like really small, like if you're 6 feet tall, you're not going to fit on the second floor type of deal. So we decided that we were going to go in, and me and Molly used to always say hello anytime that we would go into the house, so that if ever there was any kind of presence there, we were acknowledging that they were there. And it was just something that we did in every house that we went to. So we did the same thing with this house, and we kind of walked around and we're going upstairs, and it was all great and fine. And Molly said that she felt uneasy in the house. I was kind of like, there wasn't any like distinct feeling. It was just kind of whatever. And she was like, okay, I think we need to go. And we left. And as she was looking back, she saw an old lady in the window of the upstairs, just looking at us. And she turned around and looked at me, and she was like, I just saw an old lady in the window, and she doesn't want us to go back in. I think she didn't like that we were there. And I was like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. And so another story that I have, this one's really, really creepy. So there was one night that we stayed in, I think it was like Doketown or something like that. We were staying in a cabin, and the next day we were both off, and it was during the summer. So we were like, why don't we go abandoned house hunting? So we did in like the Doketown area. And we found one house and we explored it, and that was really cool. And then while we were in the car, she was like, did I ever tell you about that abandoned school in Elgin? I was like, no, why wouldn't you tell me about that? Like, we literally do this all the time. She was like, no, I don't, like, it just never crossed my mind. I used to go there as a kid. She's like, I don't know what it looks like anymore though. And I was like, okay, like, we're both off today. Why don't we go right now? And she was like, perfect, let's go. So we get in the car and we're on our way there, and we get there, and I'm pretty sure this school has been abandoned for probably like a good 30 years. Like, it's completely falling apart. There's like trees growing through the walls. Anyways, so we get there and we didn't realize that the back door was open. We could have gone through there, but the side door was completely wide open, basically just inviting you in. And she was like, okay, we have to go through the basement. So we get in the basement and we just kind of stand there and look around. And usually when we're abandoned house hunting together, we'll both go off and kind of like do our own thing and explore a different part of the house, and we don't have to be together the whole time. So when we were in this basement, we just kind of like stood there and looked around. And then all of a sudden we heard someone walking upstairs, and obviously there was no one in this building. So we both looked at each other and we both heard the footsteps very loudly. Like, these were not discreet footsteps. So she looked at me and she was like, do you want to continue? She's like, it's less creepy upstairs. And I was like, okay. I was feeling not good about it, obviously. But it was like, there was a feeling that we felt as soon as we walked in, and we both knew that we felt it, but we didn't say anything to each other. So we get upstairs and we walk in the hallway, and we found one room, and there was like papers everywhere, like music sheets, and they'd written all over the walls, all over the chalkboard. Like, obviously the people that have broken in and, you know, like just explored it for themselves. And I walk into this other room without her, and there's this chair sitting in the middle of the room, and there's a red circle painted around it. The chair is completely destroyed. And this was the room that all of this moss and these trees were growing through. And there was these satanic symbols all over the room as well. And I just kind of looked around and I got like my blood turned cold, and I screamed at Molly and I was like, we have to go. And as soon as, like, while we were running in the hallway to get out of the building, it felt like there was people, like there was more than one entity there, and it felt like they were all watching us leave. And it was just the most creepy and horrible feeling. And we both got in the car and we didn't say anything to each other for a good 5 minutes, 5, 10 minutes, I would say, while we were driving back to her house. And finally I piped up and I was like, are you okay? Like, do you feel okay? And she was like, nope. I feel like I'm going to throw up. And I was like, I feel like I'm going to throw up as well. And so we got back home we got back to her place, and we felt like something had tried to attach itself to us. So I went through my phone, deleted all of the photos that I took of that place. And we were both so creeped out and so scared. We went to, like one of those stores in Moncton that sells like crystals and like healing crystals and that kind of stuff. And obviously we had no idea what the fuck we were doing, but we're like, whatever we can do to help this right now, because we're both pretty creeped out. So we get there and we tell the lady at the counter why we're there, what we're looking for. And she was like, where was the place that you explored? And we're like, the abandoned school in Elgin. And she was like, okay, you guys are not the first people that have come for this. And I was like, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? Like, we're going to be possessed now. Like, we're not going to be able to live normal lives anymore. We're going to have to get exercised. Like, what's going to happen? And she was like, no. She's like, it's actually very rare for something to attach itself to like a human being. So really, if you just want to cleanse your aura, I think that's what she said, get some like bath salts, like some pink Himalayan salt, and you can bathe in that, and that will cleanse your aura and should cleanse you of any kind of entity that's trying to attach itself to you. And I was like, I don't even care if this doesn't fucking work. We're going to try it anyway. So we did, and we ended up feeling better like by the end of the day. But that's like, after that specific moment, after that day, we decided that that was a sign that we should stop abandoned house hunting for a while, and that we should just completely stop altogether. So I think we've probably visited like maybe two other houses since then, and that's it. Like, it really put a stop in what we were doing. Here's another spooky one. It was just before bedtime and all of the lights were off except for the lights upstairs. I was downstairs in the living room of my childhood home waiting for my brother to come into the bathroom when I saw my recently deceased great-grandfather sitting in the chair in the corner looking at me. I was in shock and obviously scared shitless, so I immediately looked away. When I looked back, he was gone. So again, this like story just reminds me of all of the times that I've seen my grandfather in public after he passed away. I just felt like he stayed with me for quite a long time after he passed. And anytime that I would be like grocery shopping or just at a store or in public, I would see him turn around, look back again because I was taking another look, and he would be gone again. And it was just so weird. I knew that it was him, but he just disappeared within seconds. I fucking love haunted house stories, so here is another haunted house story. My mom would hear footsteps in the purple room above her bedroom during the night. That bedroom was not being used by anyone, and it was always frigid cold in there. My mom and dad got divorced, and my dad remarried. His new wife moved into his house. There were always spirits in this house. When my dad would sometimes pass out after drinking too much alcohol, he sometimes would leave things on the stove. But my deceased great-grandfather's spirit would wake up my dad's new wife so that she could prevent any fires. At one point, when she was leaving the bathroom, she walked right through my great-grandfather's spirit. He was often heard scuffing his feet on the plastic runners in the living room, as he did when he was alive. There were other spirits in this house that were not so happy with their union and would throw things across the room, like their wedding photo in their bedroom and some imitation animal heads in the living room. That is a little creepy. It came to a point where she never wanted to be alone in the house. They no longer are together. Wow, that is quite the story. Let's talk about haunted hotels for a quick second, because if there's any good horror movie, it usually takes place in a haunted hotel. So I travel quite often all over the world, and I've obviously stayed in some hotels that have been a lot older than other hotels, and I've had some of my own experiences, you could say. So not that long ago, back in March, when travel was still a thing, me and Josh went to Europe, and we did a few countries while we were there. So while we were in Austria, we were in Vienna, and we were staying in a hotel in the downtown quarter of Vienna. And when we first checked into the hotel, it was the lobby itself had already been renovated. So it was a lot more modern than the rest of the hotel. But the rest of the hotel was about 150 years old. So that's pretty old. There's probably going to be some like creepy ass shit going on. The elevator could fit like 1.5 people. It was so fucking small and it was so creepy. So we check in, we get to our hotel room, and I walk in, and immediately, as soon as I walk in, I told Josh, I said, I think that there's something here and I believe it's an old man. And he was like, you're fucking crazy. And I'm like, I know I'm fucking crazy, but it is what it is. He was like, I don't feel anything, but he doesn't usually feel anything when I do. So we were staying there for 3 nights and we just kind of like did our own thing. And I never ever felt like it was threatening in any way. I just felt like he was there and he just kind of like made himself known that he was there, and that was it. So I remember waking up multiple times during the night for the next 3 nights at like different times of the night, like 1 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever it may be, but it was always multiple times per night. And I remember just waking up and looking at the mirror in front of the bed, just waiting for something to pass by. And nothing ever did, but I just remember being so focused on waiting for something to pass by. It was just really creepy. It was weird. We ended up checking out, and I didn't have any other experiences after that, but that was very weird. Also, a few nights ago, this is very recent, a couple nights ago, I was staying at the Old Orchard Inn in Wolfville, Nova Scotia. And as soon as I checked it, literally as soon as I walked into the building, I was like, there is something off here. It was just really creepy, and the energy was just, it just felt off. So check into my room, and I didn't really register at the time that the front desk clerk had given me a room that had drive-up access. And I don't know if you've seen any serial killer documentaries or any serial killer horror movies, but that's usually the rooms that get busted into, and there's usually a murder that happens. So I personally hate staying in drive-up rooms, and I refuse to stay in them if I can at any hotel that I go to, just because I just don't feel safe. So went to my room, realized that it was a drive-up room, went back to the front desk, and I had asked her if she would be able to give me another room that didn't have access to the outside. And she just kind of looked at me and was like, okay, I guess. So she ended up giving me another room, and get back to that room, just kind of like bring my stuff and doing my own thing. And I left the TV on, and I was shooting that day. So I was working that day in Wolfville. And so I left the TV on, came back like 6 hours later, and the TV was still on. I go to bed, and usually anytime that I'm anywhere by myself, I always have to have some kind of background noise on when I'm going to sleep, when I'm trying to go to sleep, because I need to focus my mind on something else. And if it's just silent, I feel like I'm focusing on the silence and just waiting for something to creep up on me anyways. So I always have some kind of background noise on. So I turn on the TV, and just there was a game show playing. So I just kind of let that play. So I went to sleep, and at 1 a.m. I wake up and the TV's off. I'm like, did I turn it off? Like, what is this? So it turned it back on again, went back to sleep. I woke up again. It was probably like 5 or 6 a.m. and the TV was off again. And I was like, okay, I know for a fact that I didn't turn it off. So already that I felt off in the hotel room, I just kind of assumed that, you know, it was something else that was turning the TV off. Didn't want the TV on, and that's totally fine because I didn't turn it on again after that. But for those of you who are like, oh, well, it's probably a timer. No, it was not a timer because of the fact that I left for 6 hours and came back and the TV was still on. So just goes to show that it was something else in that fucking room. And that is all for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming to this episode. Again, it is spooky season. It is my favorite time of year aside from Christmas. So, of course, I had to make an episode on ghosts. Who do you think I am? So I also wanted to let you guys know that it's going to be a little while before the next episode comes out. I am in the middle of probably my busiest season of the year, so it's been pretty hard to keep up with everything. So please don't be too hard on me if you don't hear an episode for another few weeks. I am sorry in advance, but thank you so much for coming to today's episode. I love you all. Have a fantastic Tuesday. We'll be right back.